This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast about the week that was in Bates Athletics. My name is Aaron Morse, and this week we're previewing the spring seasons for rowing and men's golf as they get things started this Saturday. Plus, our Bobcats of the week come from the Diamond, and men's lacrosse picked up a thrilling win over Williams. That's coming up on the Bates Bobcast. The softball team is 8-7 on the year and picked up their first NESCAC victory of the season on Saturday when they defeated Amherst 5-2. Junior pitcher Bella Albro had a terrific week for the Bobcats, winning both her starts, beginning with a complete game against Babson, where she allowed just one run on six hits while striking out two in a 2-1 win for Bates. She followed that up with another complete game in the win over Amherst, as Albro surrendered two runs on four hits. She capped off the week by allowing just one run in 2 2/3 innings pitched out of the bullpen against nationally ranked Tufts. And for her efforts, Albro was named the Maine State Pitcher of the Week. And she is our female Bobcat of the Week. Well, Bella, a big week for you there in the circle for the Bobcats, picking up a couple of nice wins against Babson and Amherst. Tell me a little bit about those starts. What was really clicking for you out there in the circle?
So Coach, just we had a conversation before both of the games, and it was just keep everything low. So I'm mainly a drop ball pitcher, and I get a lot of ground balls, and I rely a lot on my defense. So my infield is really picking me up and making those plays, which was awesome.
And, junior now, you've worked to get to this point, right? I mean, like, you've really, I think, had a breakthrough season so far this year. What have you learned about college softball through your first 3 years here at Bates that you've applied to this season here?
This season it's honestly been a lot of fun. I'm getting to use the experience I gained in the last two seasons to just kind of play loose, I guess. Also, I went abroad last semester, and a lot of the juniors did as well. And coming back together, we just, like, so excited to be here. And, play together, which is awesome.
I noticed just statistically, you haven't, you're not walking very many people, which is good, right? Two walks in your 28 1/3 innings. So what's the key to, controlling the strike zone like that?
I think that's also a really big difference in my performance from this year to the last 2 years is decreasing the walks. And it's just really going right at the hitters and trusting my pitches and trusting my defense that I know that I'm going to get a ground ball and they're going to make the out.
Well, you're a junior now, but tell us about growing up in New York City. How did you first find softball as your sport there in Manhattan?
Playing softball, and I think baseball as well, is pretty tough in New York City. There's not that many programs or at least good opportunities. So I started with T-ball. My dad and my sister were my big teammates in that. And then I changed to softball so that my sister and I could play on the same team and went through Little League. Then in middle school, I was coached by Renee Boschman, who does Manhattan Mayhem, and she really kind of kickstarted my drive to play in college, which was really exciting. And from there, I joined a couple other clubs and ended up here.
Did you have to leave the island to play, or are there softball fields? Oh, okay.
My home field in high school was Central Park, which is
nice.
Kind of hilarious. but other than that, for kind of more competitive games, we have to leave basically the city, a lot of Long Island. That's where my club was in the majority of high school. And then we go to Massachusetts, Maryland, we play a tournament in. So, you kind of have to outsource good competition.
Yeah, certainly. Well, when you were looking at colleges, what made Bates the place for you coming up from New York to Maine here?
So I was mainly looking NESCAC because I wanted something highly academic and also great softball. And I met Coach at Head First Honor Roll. But I really connected with Coach, and I came up for a visit. Actually, I came accidentally on the first day of classes my senior year, but, and I just loved the campus. I loved the vibe that everyone kind of had. It was very community-based, and that really spoke to me. And so immediately I was ready to say, this is my top choice. I talked to Coach about it, and, she said, welcome home.
Nice. Well, one interesting dynamic about this year's team is, and Kat has talked about this, there's so many pitchers compared to maybe a typical softball team. And so you and the other pitchers have to be prepared. You might be starting, you might be coming out of the bullpen. You've had 7 appearances, 4 starts, so 3 relief appearances this year. And you've appeared out of the bullpen a bit last year as well. How do you prepare What's the difference for you, whether you're going to be starting or maybe possibly coming in relief?
It's really exciting to have six pitchers on our staff. And I think Bo Betancourt, she's our catcher, is doing a great job kind of balancing all of us. She works so hard behind the plate and is just an amazing. She calls the pitches as well, so she's amazing. And then also our bullpen catchers are working really hard this year because we have so many pitchers. So I just want to shout out everybody. Honestly, there's not much difference for me. I kind of, especially this year, I've kind of had just a loose approach to everything. I'm really just having a lot of fun. So, you know, I find out 30 minutes before the game or three innings into the game, you're going to be number two for this game. And you kind of just have to go, you know, you get into the bullpen, you warm up, and then it's time to, you know, throw strikes and get people out.
Yeah, we've had some games up here in Maine. We're hoping to eventually have some home games possibly in April there against Colby. Should be good for that, April 5th, doubleheader against Colby. But this week, you're at Brandeis on Thursday, and then at Bowdoin, where you've played some games recently, but this time actually playing against Bowdoin on Saturday in that doubleheader. I mean, what are these NESCAC doubleheaders kind of like? I mean, because you're used to playing a lot of doubleheaders, but in NESCAC, that's all it is, right?
Yeah. So I actually was talking to one of my teammates and we were talking about how fun conference play is because it's so intense. Like you just throw everything on the field for that 5 hours that you're there. And then, you know, you get back on the bus and you sing and dance with your teammates and it's awesome. But yeah, they're super intense, but they are so much fun. And it's just, it's really great to play in the NESCAC.
Yeah, certainly. And the Florida trip to start the year, you all came back with a winning record, still have a winning record overall, 8-7 right now. But those Florida trips are a little different because you're playing two games a day, but they're against different opponents, against opponents you're not familiar with at all. What's the season opening trip to Florida like from your perspective?
So much fun.
Yeah.
We get to just go and play. There's not that much scouting that we do. Mm-hmm. We're kind of just seeing what fits with our team. And that was also really exciting about our pitching staff this year. It was so big. And so we got to kind of try everyone out in different roles and see what clicked and what didn't. So, yeah, Florida provides us with an opportunity to kind of just, like, try everything out and then see what's going to work for NESCAC play.
Tell us about your kind of pitching arsenal. When you're watching you out there on the circle, what are you kind of throwing? What are you trying to do with the hitters?
So I mainly throw one pitch, and it is a drop ball.
Okay.
So basically what I'm trying to do is I'm just trying to get people to ground out. Strikeouts aren't really my game. They're fun when they happen. But typically I rely on my infield to field the ground balls and get the outs. Yeah, which also, to go back to our big pitching staff, we all provide a different look, which is also really exciting. I don't know if you're familiar with a rise ball, but
I am.
Yes, yeah. So it rises on the hitters, and so drop balls just, like, kind of fall off the table. Basically, you either want them to swing and miss, or they get over the top of the ball, and so they hit it into the ground and produce weak ground balls.
And that's what you do all day, every day, right? and that can work, right? I mean, we've seen, like, in the sport of baseball, we've seen pitchers live on one pitch like the cutter. And so that definitely can work. What's the key, though? Because they kind of know what's coming, right?
Yeah, which is – that's – it's kind of funny because, yes, they know it's coming. So I joke sometimes that I'm on borrowed time. That once they figure it out, you know, someone else is going to have to go in. No, but, yeah, that is true.
It works out,
it
right?
It works, yeah.
Even if they know they're going to hit a ground ball and one of your fields are going to make the play, right?
Yeah.
Carrie Green, our pitching coach, you work a lot with her.
Yes, she's awesome.
Tell me a little bit about her.
She's great. She kind of her method is letting us do what our bodies naturally do and kind of helping us from there. And we talk a lot about the mental game and how, like, we can improve the slightest little thing in our kind of mindset, and it has huge impacts during the game. And so that's been really great. I've been working with her since freshman year, and she's awesome.
You mentioned, like, singing and dancing on the bus. What's this team like? What's the team dynamic?
If I could describe the team dynamic in one word, my senior captain, LMR, is going to love this. I would say love, because we all play with so much love and joy. It's just a brilliant group of girls. Everyone is so talented, and I'm so lucky to be able to play with them every single day.
Excellent. What are your thoughts you wanted to share on the start to the season and everything for the Bobcats? Got a NESCAC win under your belt, hoping for, you know, plenty more of those. But anything else you wanted to mention we haven't got to talk about?
Stay tuned. I think it's going to be a great season, and I'm really excited to see what happens this year.
Absolutely. Bobcats back in action at Brandeis Thursday for a doubleheader. You can catch them at Pickard Field again in Brunswick on Saturday at noon at Bowdoin. Our home opener Sunday, April 5th, Colby, a doubleheader, of course, as usual in NESCAC action. Bella, thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Congrats again on your great start to the season. Our female Bobcat of the week and, by the way, the Maine State Pitcher of the week. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
The baseball team is 11-3 and also picked up their first NESCAC win of the season when the Bobcats won Game 2 of Saturday's doubleheader in Hartford by a score of 10-4 over Trinity. Senior Jack Margaloff is having a great start to the year at the plate. homering against the Bantams while going 7-for-14 at the dish over the course of the three-game series. He's hitting .434 on the year, and Jack Margaloff is our Male Bobcat of the Week.
Well, we've got Male Bobcat of the Week, Jack Margaloff, with us here on the Bobcast talking some Bates baseball. And for you, that doubleheader was quite the day. 7-for-9 at the plate against Trinity. You guys got the win in game two of that doubleheader. Tell me about, you know, so far this year, hitting .434. What's been working at the plate this year? What are you seeing up there?
Yeah, I know there's been a lot of confidence throughout the lineup. And, you know, I think it really just starts at, you know, the hitting as a whole from the team's perspective. You know, I think for me personally, hitting at the top of the order, I have so much confidence that guys around me can do the job. So it kind of gives me a little peace of mind when I'm up in the plate and simplifies things a little bit, which in past years kind of hasn't been there.
And for you, I mean, and this whole team, really, you guys are very aggressive base runners. For example, you already have 17 stolen bases this year yourself, and that's more than you had all of last season. So obviously being aggressive out there, what's that like? You know, when you reach first, you're looking to get to third by yourself, basically, right?
Yeah. Coach Michael Flame, our assistant coach, has really done part of his core philosophy is just being aggressive on the base paths. And you know, it kind of allows us to open up the field a little bit where, you know, the shortstop and second baseman pinch a little bit up the middle. So it gives our hitters more abilities to, you know, hit around the field and get more base hits. And Keegan and I have done a great job so far at doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. What's it like working with Keegan? You know, you're both there at the top of the order and you set the table, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Keegan's phenomenal. I mean, he is a ridiculous athlete. I mean, pretty much everything he does. And him and Liam Yardley have done a fantastic job being captains this year, kind of just instilling confidence from the top for our team. And yeah, it's been great. He's unbelievable.
And, you know, you're a senior now. You know, you've had some solid seasons for the Bobcats, but it seems like it's really all come together for you. How gratifying has that been so far?
It's awesome. Yeah. I mean, we've had some awesome hitters through my couple of years here at Bates, but it's really cool just from, you know, to be in the position that I'm in as a senior and trying just to lead and, you know, kind of push our offense forward. It's a really cool experience so far.
And for the team, you guys got off to such a, you know, great start. Trinity, obviously, you know, is always going to be a tough opponent. How big was it, though, to get that final game? Because obviously you really don't want to get swept to start the year, right?
Yeah. I mean, every NESCAC game that we win it means so much.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had some difficult years, and, you know, I truly, our team and especially our upperclassmen appreciate every single win that we have. And I know that we're going to get a lot more moving forward. That's a definite thing that's going to happen. But it felt good. We had full confidence moving throughout the series. I mean, even when we're down, I know that our offense can put up enough numbers and our pitchers are awesome and they'll hold them to it. And I know that they can contain any offense in the conference.
Yeah, because even though you guys lost game one there on Saturday, you still scored 8 runs. So that must have been a confidence boost after Friday's game, right?
Yeah. You know, it's baseball. Bad things.
Sure.
Bad games will happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you can't put it together. But like I said before, I'm confident that, you know, we got a lot of guys in our lineup that can get base hits in any kind of scenario.
So this week is a big one for the Bobcats. Hopefully, knock on wood, we have a midweek game. And then, of course, the big rivalry matchup Friday, Saturday against Bowdoin. I mean, it's so weird that NESCAC season is so short, kind of. After this series, you're going to be halfway through NESCAC play. So, I mean, how excited is the team for this opportunity against their rival?
We're pumped.
Yeah.
You know, getting the game three win against Trinity definitely helps out with the momentum.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got our guy John Tully going Friday, and we have all the confidence in the world in him that he's going to get the job done and get win one on Friday. So we're looking to take the series this weekend.
Take me back when you were in high school. What made Bates kind of place for you when you were looking for colleges?
I mean, I was looking at, you know, NESCAC, D3 schools, smaller schools. I definitely wanted a smaller community. You know, Bates is just such a special place, especially Maine. It's a lot different from where I'm from. And I thought it was just a great opportunity to come to a campus that was unlike anything I'd been in an environment like that before. And Coach Martin gave me quite a pitch. He gave me quite a pitch.
What was his main message about Bates?
The thing that stuck with me the most is that, you know, at Bates, you'll never eat a meal alone. You know, the moment you walk in Commons, you've got 40 guys that are there waiting for you. And, you know, the team is just an environment unlike any other. And, you know, I found my best friends in the world here.
What's it like having your brother here now, right? He transferred.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty interesting. I'd never actually played on a baseball team with him. In high school, kind of didn't match up then. And it's been great. The whole freshman class are just an unbelievable group of kids and, you know, on and off the field. And he's fitting really well. And it's I think for my parents, the little commute to go into sports games has been a lot better, a little easier for them. But It's awesome. I love having him around. It's a really special experience.
How did that kind of happen? When did you find out that he was considering coming here?
Yeah, so he played both baseball and soccer at Wheaton College last year as a freshman and then and transferred in. And, you know, he'd visit me every year since I've been at Bates. And, you know, every time he'd come up, he really liked the school. And, you know, it's a great academic school, obviously. And I think he kind of just saw how close the team was. And, yeah, he applied over the summer and was looking for a move, and I think he's really happy here, which is awesome.
Looking forward, you know, to the rest of the season. We still have a bunch of games, you know, to go, obviously, but the NESCAC season does go by quickly. But what are your thoughts on, you know, how this team shapes up for the rest of the year? What are some keys to success in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, I think this is easily the most confident I've been in our team as a whole in my 4 years. Our pitching staff is really strong top to bottom. We've got a great starting pitchers. We've got a great bullpen, guys that we know are going to come in and throw strikes. That's really special. That's the key to winning games. And like I said before, I think that our lineup has proved so far, even through one NESCAC series, that, you know, we can swing with any team and we're going to be able to put up the run support. But yeah, I think pitching is going to be key. And I know that we have the guys to go in there and do it.
All right, Jack Margaloff, our male Bobcat of the week, off to a great start there for the Bobcats, who again are home this Wednesday. It's a 3 o'clock first pitch against St. Joseph's, but you'll definitely want to come out to Leahy Field Saturday at noon for a big doubleheader against the Bowdoin College Polar Bears in NESCAC play. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Aaron.
The men's lacrosse team won a 13-12 thriller over Williams on Saturday, with junior Gray Doyle pacing the Bobcats by tallying 4 points in the victory. He scored a pair of goals and also dished out 2 assists. Doyle leads Bates with 31 points on the year, as the Bobcats sport a record of 7-2, entering Wednesday night's showdown with number 2, nationally ranked Bowdoin. Well, Gray, a nice win there over Williams Saturday at Garcelon Field, 13-12. Back-to-back years now, you've played very close games with them. You guys had a lead. They fought back. You guys were able to hold on for the victory. Take us through that game. You had 2 goals, a couple of assists. What were you seeing out there? What was the key to pulling out that win over the Eves?
Third year in a row, actually, we've had really tight games with them. Last year, obviously, winning in overtime, and this year, being able to pull it out by 1 late in the game. But, yeah, key to the game, 100% the middle third of the field. We out-ground-balled them. We out-cleared them. We out-rode the ball back from them. So those three aspects of the game are something Coach Anino has really tried to put an emphasis on the last couple weeks in practice. So we were really happy with those results. But, yeah, a clutch save by Andrew Tolan as the buzzer went off at the end of the game there. It was awesome having a bunch of different goal scorers, a bunch of different guys contributing on the offensive and defensive end. So great team win, and definitely looking forward to tomorrow night as well.
That's got to be a fun celebration when the goalie makes a save there at the buzzer, right?
a little stressful for sure. But we have one in the back of the net, so we know he's backing up the pipes well.
So you're a junior from Summit, New Jersey. Tell me a little bit about growing up. What made lacrosse kind of your sport? What got you into it?
My cousins all played lacrosse, so grew up watching them. My cousins, Connor, Jack, Casey, Caroline, and Kevin all played. Connor and Jack and Casey and Caroline actually all played at Notre Dame. So
oh, wow, okay.
Grew up going to the Final Four games when I was little. Those Denver, Notre Dame, Duke, Notre Dame Final Four games were always super fun to watch. So from a very young age, I kind of always knew I wanted to follow in their footsteps and follow their path. Grew up and always had a stick in my hand, was playing club, town lacrosse, and then went to Del Barton, where lacrosse is a very integral part of the culture there. A lot of guys from the area play lacrosse, so got super into it, and that's where I kind of fell in love with it. After watching my cousins playing a bunch of big games, it was really awesome to play in some big games myself in my high school career. So that's when I really started to fall in love with it and knew I wanted to play in college.
So when you started looking for colleges, you know, what made Bates the place for you coming up from New Jersey to play here and study at Bates for your college degree and everything?
Yeah, 100%. So I think first and most importantly, what I knew I was looking for and what I discussed with my parents kind of all growing up was I really wanted that mentorship, and I was really looking for that coach. And I think Coach Anino really fit that mold and that leader and that mentor that I was looking for and we were looking for as a family. He's a Chaminade guy, and that's where my dad went to high school, so we had that connection. But right off the bat, he had a couple phone calls with him, came up to campus, and it was clear that he really cared about the development of you as a young man, you as a young individual, and as well as you as a as a lacrosse player. So I think really picking that coach to mold and create a culture within a program that had a winning history but had had a couple of down years prior, we really put our trust in Coach Anino, and he's done an amazing job building a great culture and a great team as well.
Because your first year here was his second year, right?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay, gotcha. And for you, you know, your first year, I'm looking at the stats. I remember your first year, you were scoring a bunch of goals. You still score a lot of goals, but 24 goals, 18 assists. Last couple of years, you know, you've been kind of balancing it out more, maybe the assists and the goals. Has your role changed a bit?
Yes, sir. So Coach Anino, Coach Sal, and Coach Parker, who's new on the staff this year, have all done great jobs recruiting new young talent. And, you know, as new talent comes in, you get more and more guys. Your role kind of changes a little bit. So freshman year, my role was one thing. And now as we have a bunch of young talent, we have a bunch of freshmen getting on the field. We have Henry McCann, Charlie Lowe, Charlie Hepp, three freshmen that have really been helping us out this year. And then you got a bunch of sophomores and a bunch of juniors and a bunch of seniors playing. So we have a lot of guys who can score the ball now. So my role is has kind of molded a little bit over the years, but it's still playing down at attack and doing my best to help the offense go, ride the ball back, get the ball around, distribute the ball to our goal scorers, and then finish my opportunities when I have the chance.
One thing I've noticed about this team, even last year, maybe the year before a bit also, a lot of the games are really close. Uh-huh. Like one goal games.
Yes, sir, right? Yes, sir.
Like you had the Middlebury game, which was 13-12, unfortunately, in favor of them, but Williams 13-12 in favor of Bates. You had earlier this year that Wesleyan game was obviously a huge win, even the Union game before that. Mm-hmm. What's it like playing all these really close games?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just goes to, speaks to the compete mentality we have on our team. We never feel like we're out of the game. So we could go down five goals and we're always going to believe that we're going to come back and finish the job in the fourth quarter. And I think on the flip side of things, we as a team need to finish. We need to learn how to finish teams off and finish these games when we go up a couple and save some heart attacks on the sidelines for sure, and really put teams away late in the fourth quarter. But it's been extremely fun to play a bunch of close games against a bunch of amazing teams, especially within the NESCAC.
We're talking on Tuesday. You have a pretty big game tomorrow, April 1st, 7 o'clock. It's a home game against Bowdoin. The Bobcats are 4-0 at home this year. Bowdoin is ranked number 2 in the country, so this is going to be a big-time battle. Obviously, you beat Wesleyan earlier this year on the road, a top team as well, so you know you can do it. But what are your thoughts on this matchup with the rival Polar Bears?
Yeah, Bowdoin, great program, historically great team. They've had a couple of great years, and I think we're all super, super pumped up and excited for this matchup. Obviously, they're undefeated. They've had a great year so far, but defending your home turf Wednesday night under the lights, 7 p.m. It really doesn't get better than that. This is why you play lacrosse at Bates College. You come here to play Bowdoin at home under the lights.
Well, your first year here, I'm looking at the history, close game, right?
Yes, sir.
16-40.
Yes, sir.
What do you remember about that battle?
Yeah, it was a cold one, I remember.
Yeah.
I remember we came out strong. Pretty sure Miles Schmidt played phenomenal at the Faceoff X. I remember we were able to dominate there a little bit. And I just remember it was a back-and-forth battle. We were up, I think, one or two in the fourth quarter at some point, and unfortunately they put a couple in late to beat us. But, I mean, it's always going to be a fun one against those guys.
It looks like, looking at your bio here on our website, you also played football in high school.
Yes,
what kind of made lacrosse your preferred sport, possibly over football?
Yeah, playing football at Del Barton was definitely fun. I was never really a football guy. I played for a year or two just because a bunch of my really close friends played, and I really enjoyed being a part of the team. The team was really good, so I really enjoyed playing wide receiver and running along some of the best wide receivers in the state. I played a lot of soccer growing up as well, so that was kind of my secondary sport. And then when I got to high school, sophomore, junior year, was like, might as well try it out and see if I can have some fun.
Certainly, and you were an NESCAC Spring All Academic selection there last year as a sophomore. First year, you can earn that award. Economics major, law and society minor. Tell me a little bit about your studies here at Bates, and were there any adjustments coming from high school, or you fit right in, kind of?
Yes, sir. Adjustments coming to a liberal arts college, definitely knew I wanted to take a very diverse course load. Mm-hmm. So even though I'm an economics major, I've also taken a lot of classes in religion. I'm a religious studies, concentration. I've taken a bunch of law classes. Law and society is another concentration I'm doing. But I've really enjoyed the econ classes here, as well as getting a well-rounded education with history, as well as a little bit of psych here and there, but have really enjoyed the professors that I've had so far, and it's been a really great experience.
Excellent. Well, one interesting thing about Bates, you know, well, and men's lacrosse in general, big roster, right?
Yes,
lots
sir.
Of guys. How do you get to, you know, you're a junior now, but how do you get to know everyone? Because it's so many people. It's
yes,
like
sir.
One of our bigger rosters we have.
We definitely have a lot of guys,
yeah.
And our class is 16 guys as well, so that's a relatively large class, especially for lacrosse. But I think it really goes to show the amount of time that we spend with each other and how we really care about each other as a group and as a collective. You know, on our days off or free time during the day, we always choose to spend it with each other. So I think that goes a really long way. And then we always have each other's backs, like whether we're celebrating our win or we're preparing after a loss, we're always spending time together and making sure that we're developing those relationships. And I think we've put a real emphasis on bringing some younger guys along and making sure the freshmen feel like a part of our culture. And that's something that we really pride ourselves on our team. So I think it really starts from the first day that everybody steps on campus, making sure that everybody's 52 deep and we're all looking out for each other on campus.
Great. Well, any other thoughts you wanted to share on the season so far? Obviously, 7-2, 3-2 in NESCAC, ranked in the top 20 in the USILA at last check. I mean, what are your thoughts? You know, anything else you want to mention about the team we haven't got to talk about yet?
Yeah, I mean, just super proud of these guys. We work hard day in and day out from the start of September through every single summer, through every single winter break. And last year, we had a good year. We won 4 NESCAC games,
yep.
But I think we weren't satisfied with how we ended out the season. We weren't satisfied being in that middle of the pack, that sixth seed going in the NESCAC tournament. And we're really trying to put an emphasis on winning more NESCAC games so we can make NCAAs this year. And just so proud of how hard our guys have worked and really embracing this journey and this process, trying to get this program to the national championship level, which is obviously our goal. So proud of our guys and really excited for the future and this year.
Excellent. Yeah, a chance to make a big statement Wednesday night,
yes,
7
sir.
O'clock,
yes,
Garcelon
sir.
Field, Bowdoin coming to town in what should be a great rivalry matchup. Again, Bobcats are 7-2, ranked in the top 20. Gray Doyle dishing out the assists, scoring the goals, doing it all for the Bobcats. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
The men's golf team returns to action this Saturday and Sunday after a long winter wait. Their spring season begins in Connecticut with the Trinity and Hartford Spring Invitational. Senior captain Henry Ehrlich gives us a full preview. Well, Henry, it's golf season here in the spring on the Bobcast. April 4th and 5th, the men's golf team is headed to Windsor, Connecticut. It's Kenny Park Golf Course for the Trinity / Hartford Spring Invitational. Henry, I know you were injured a bit last fall. You know, obviously, your senior year, so how are you feeling now? Are you ready to go this spring? We got three tournaments before NESCAC's here coming up.
Yeah, well, first of all, Aaron, thank you a lot for having me. It's always great to be on the Bobcast, the best podcast in Lewis and Maine, as I like to call it.
Yes.
feeling pretty good. Done a lot of PT in the off season. Got stronger, got faster, and steroid shot definitely helped too.
And what was the injury you were dealing with?
It was a low back disc issue.
Oh, that's not good for golf.
No, good for golf. No, golf is, you know, one of those things not great for your body.
Mm.
But if, you know, you do the right things, and a massive shout out to Kate DiCenzo in the PT room, who has been totally instrumental in my recovery. You can get better.
Yeah, certainly. And so obviously the team hasn't had a tournament since October. So as a captain, how are you kind of leading them throughout the winter months preparing for this spring season, which is important, obviously, to gear up for NESCACs?
It's a great question. Last week we had an outstanding spring break trip down in North Carolina where we got a ton of good practice in. It's always kind of a great pressure test just to see where everybody's at and how you can kind of really tell who's who's been practicing and who hasn't, and on specific parts of the game as well. But the main emphasis on the spring break trip was just short game stuff, because we've got the great simulator in Merrill where, you know, that facilitates hitting shots and full shots and getting all the data on that. But then what we miss, obviously, is the putting and kind of chipping and more feel-related shots that you really get better from just, like, practice and a lot of reps and consistency. So that was kind of the main focus. In terms of practice, though, we have all kinds of matches and other competitions that we do in the off season. But, you know, golf, while it's a team sport here, we win and lose as a team, it's individual and everybody knows what they need to work on.
Yeah, you mentioned the short game because I feel like sometimes, yeah, with like the simulators and stuff, the short game can kind of take a back seat accidentally, perhaps. It's not maybe as exciting as hitting a big drive. So how do you maintain that focus? Because it really can make a big difference, you know, placing the top 10 or not, you know?
Totally. And that's the message I try to stress to the team is you're just grinding putting. I mean, it's one of those things where you can get a lot better at putting regardless of how your form or stroke is, just by doing reps and trying to do the same thing over and over again. Whereas if you go to the driving range and just beat golf balls with a bad swing, it's possible to get worse, and oftentimes that happens. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, putting is the most determinant factor in winning on the PGA Tour rather than driving distance or how well you hit the ball or anything like that, contrary to some popular beliefs. But the drive for show, putt for dough is a real thing. Unfortunate as it is, it definitely can be more boring to practice than, and not as fun than to hit the long ball. But at the end of the day, I think for me, the best feeling in golf is stepping up to a putt and knowing it's going to go in, as opposed to, you know, I mean, it's great to hit a big drive or hit a wedge shot close, but, you know, having a 10-footer for birdie or, you know, maybe like a 6-footer for par that you feel really confident it's going to go in, that's a great feeling.
You mentioned the spring break trip. Is this something the golf team has done before, or is this new?
It is, yep.
Okay.
We've done it all 4 years. Okay. Yep. I've been here, but the last 2 years has been new for North Carolina.
North Carolina, okay. So what were those conditions kind of like?
Nice.
Yeah.
It was, we had great weather. We got super lucky. Didn't really rain on us or anything. It was kind of in the 50s and 60s, which was perfect. It's a different type of grass down there in the south. It's all Bermuda grass. So the only thing that's really different, well, there's two things. The greens are a lot different. So Bermuda grass has grain, meaning that it grows in different directions. And so the ball rolls differently when you're down grain versus up grain. So when you're down grain, the grass will kind of appear a little bit lighter. This is something I was not used to growing up in the Pacific Northwest at all. Or that people up here are used to. So yeah, like when you're down grain, the ball's going to go faster. When you're into the grain, it's going to go slower. And then chipping as well becomes a lot harder on Bermuda grass just because you kind of get tighter lies. You have less grass that the ball's kind of propped up on. There's just a lot less room for error. Like on the grass up here, you can kind of like chunk it and it'll work. Whereas like if you chunk it down there, you're hosed.
Yeah, yeah. Looking at the roster, yeah, you're the only senior.
That's right.
And then there's only one junior, Charlie Wyman. So it's a young team. What's it like having this young team? You know, it's a pretty fairly large roster and some guys who I know, like Sean Resnick, Malin Adams, have been contributing a lot as younger guys. What's it like kind of seeing the younger guys, you know, continuing to help build this program as a senior here?
I love it. It's one of the things that we as like underclassmen always talked about back in the day, you know, me, Freddie Curtis, Will Phillips. Yeah. The legends of the past, I should say, kind of always dreamed about our spots being taken and really strongly competed for when we were upperclassmen, because you know, obviously that'd be indicative of the program getting better. That's exactly what's happening. All credit to Coach Sean Warren, who's incredible and getting great recruits. We've got three studs coming in next year who are awesome. And, you know, Coach Warren beat them out for competition at the other NESCAC schools, which is great.
Nice.
We're definitely missing our junior Arthur Jenkins this semester, but he'll be back next year.
Okay, gotcha.
We're looking pretty solid. We've got it's going to be me, Zach Lowe, Sean Resnick, Malin Adams, and Charlie Wyman this weekend at Trinity.
Gotcha. What's been standing out about those guys that got them into the lineup here for this first tournament?
That's a great question. Well, I'll start with Sean.
Yeah.
I mean, he's definitely got a really solid tournament track record, extremely talented, hits the ball a mile. And, you know, he's a guy that hits it as good as anybody in the conference, but can lose strokes on the putting green, I think, just like me. So that's kind of his main focus this weekend. Malin, He is also a total stud. He had one of the most impressive tournaments I've ever seen at Williams this fall. He had two. His first two college rounds were very poor, and then he followed it up with one of the best rounds in program history.
Right, right.
Which is so impressive. Just to be able to, you know, rebound from that and just put everything aside and just play his game. So he's a great tournament guy. Zach Lowe, this is only his second tournament for us, but his game has gotten a lot better in the offseason. He's been practicing a ton, grinding, working with Sean on everything. So his game looked really solid in North Carolina. And then Charlie, coming back from abroad, he was in St. Andrews, so he got to play more golf than any of us.
Right.
Which is great. So his game looks great.
Yeah. So, yeah, starting abroad. Oh, so in Scotland. I was just in Scotland, actually.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I didn't get to golf, but I was St. Andrews, obviously very famous. I'll have to talk to him about that experience.
You should. He could talk about it for days on end.
So coming back from abroad, he's not going to be rusty at all, it sounds
no.
like. Yeah. Although Lynx golf is a little different, right?
It's a little different, yeah. But, you know, he's a great player, and he's got a really strong mental game, and I think it's going to be an awesome season for him.
I remember it was 2 years ago, you guys at NESCAC's kind of like, well, you got first, and the team as a whole did really well. Obviously, that's got to be in the back of your mind about another chance to really shine on the big stage coming up April 24th through 26th. It is a challenging, though, three-round event now, right?
That's right. Yep. You know, I think what I've been telling the guys and our main mindset going forward is just to be able to have that belief that we are good enough to win. I mean, I know for a fact that there's probably 5-6 guys on our team whose best is good enough to win, for sure. And so it's just about having that belief. And, you know, making practice really hard and challenging, both mentally and physically, so that, you know, when you go out on the course, you can just do your thing free of extracurricular thoughts and things that, you know, could hurt you.
Any of the golf courses this spring? I'm looking for different golf courses, two in Connecticut, but they're different courses. Are you familiar with them, or are they all new?
Yep. We did Keeney Park my sophomore year,
okay,
I believe. And then we've done Ballston Spa in Saratoga all of my years.
Sure, yep.
And then Beaver Meadow.
Beaver Meadow.
Yeah, we did that one last year.
Okay.
But then Fox Hopyard in NESCAC is new.
That's new, okay.
It's new. Yeah. We never had a NESCAC tournament there, so that's going to be great. I think it's a great track. A couple of our guys from Connecticut say it's great.
Mm.
It's a little longer in terms of courses we play, which is fun, and it should be a great time.
Excellent. Well, Henry, thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcast to preview the spring season for men's golf, coming off an 8th-place finish at the NEIGA Championships a long time ago in October. It's been a while since then, and hoping to, you know, get these spring tournaments in. And, of course, it all culminates with NESCAC's in April 24th through 26th. Thanks so much again. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Aaron.
The rowing teams are in Boston to begin their spring season with races against the MIT Lightweights on Saturday. Head coach Peter Steenstra joins the Bobcast this week to give us a look at his crews.
Yeah, I'm starting off with the MIT Lightweights on both sides, men and women, down in Boston. That's leading us into the Easter Sunday, so we're just getting the one race on Saturday, which should go pretty nicely. But we're going down there with the majority of the squad, not the whole team, so looking forward to that one. It's the second weekend is the big one, when we head down to Tufts, where we'll see Wesleyan, we'll see Wellesley on the women's side, we'll see Boston College on the men's side. And then on, that's for Saturday the 11th, and then on Sunday, we go to WPI and see a whole group of people. So over the next, you know, 2 weekends, we're going to get some good racing done here.
Excellent. I know the team during the winter typically will go to Florida for a trip. Tell me a little about that.
Yeah, Florida went well. We had a beautiful week. Great weather the whole time, only a little bit of rain on one day, but otherwise we didn't miss any of the sessions, which was huge. And we had a good big group, 80-some-odd people were down there. So, yeah, it was a good productive week, and got a lot of miles in and a lot of sun. So I think everyone came back ready to get some of that typical March ergrum work done, and now we've survived that. So looking forward to getting racing.
I was going to say, have you gotten a chance to go on the river at all here?
No.
No.
Nothing here. But, you know, Things are beginning to look wet at the very least. So with a little bit of luck with today's string of heat that we've had for these couple days and some rain, and who knows, we might be able to get the docks in by the end of the week.
Gotcha. And then, I mean, looking at this team, you know, from the fall till now, what are some key points of emphasis you had for them over the winter to get ready for the spring competition?
The key things that we were focused on was that we really wanted people to get the work done this winter. There was some pressure, I think, put on them to really produce some output over those 3 months where we couldn't be with them. And the captains did a good job. You know, it's a balance between them pushing themselves, but at the same time knowing to not push too hard, because then you just push people into injuries. Mm-hmm. And we've done a good job, I think. We started there in February, and we've been working with Coach K, who's done a lot for us over at the strength and conditioning side of things, and that's been very helpful. So, you know, just watching the teams actually become more athletic just in what they were doing has been great.
So tell us about the varsity eights for the women and the men. I mean, how experienced of a group are we talking about? Are there younger rowers in the boat? How's that kind of shaping up?
I think that if you look at both varsity eights, you might say that on the men's side, it's a bit on the younger side, which is good. We have good seniors in there. Mm-hmm. We've got a good coxswain in Darien, and we've got a really good stroke seat in Luke Demaison, who's the senior and the captain. I think that that's a pretty well-balanced boat with some big guys. We're being very patient this year in that we have a very strong group that's kind of deep, I think. So we're getting some of these younger guys into the mix, and I think we have two good strong eights on the men's side. I'm keeping them somewhat balanced to start the year, but you know, people like Roy Bellows, who's a first year, having him in the V8 is a good place for him to be. He's a big boy, pulls real hard, so we'll get him in there and get him the mileage in that boat. The women's side, it's a bit of a mixed bag. You know, we've had some people who did a little more extra work. We've had some people get healthy again, which has been great. We've got some people that were in the varsity eight, say, last fall or certainly last spring, who are in the 2V for this weekend. And they're coming back from injuries. They're coming back from just some illnesses that have been kind of lingering. So I think that, again, with some youth in that mix, we don't have any first years in that group, but there's some sophomores and some juniors that are certainly having plenty of impact.
Gotcha. Tell us about your captains and what you've seen from them and why they're in the positions they're in, I guess.
Yeah, we do. We have six. They're in those positions because the roster is so big. Mm-hmm. And we have that many. I think both groups have done a good job. If you look at on the women's side with all of those folks there, they've spent a lot of time talking with us to make sure that we were involved in helping them and giving them some guidance. Meryl Doherty and Isabel Martin and Olivia Smith have done a really, really good job. I think that there were some struggles through the early part. Their job being to help motivate and drive the women's team. I think they came in and spoke with us on a number of occasions. But I think that where they are now is showing that they were successful in that. And I think this group is going to show us that they did the work over the winter, and now they're going to put it on the race course.
On the men's side, you've got, one of your coxswains is a captain, right?
Yep, Micah Shimizu, yep. Luke Demaison, and then Kelly McKeg.
Yep.
And they, same idea. They've done a good job. Those guys seem to have a plan on their own, I think, largely driven by Luke. But certainly they just had a lot of purpose right from the start. So they haven't had to come to us quite as much, but let's just say that we've had smaller discussions on the side with those guys.
Does the team set goals like, you know, we want to finish here at NESCAC, we want to finish here nationally? Like, do you look at the national landscape and say, where should we be to, you know, be in a good spot, kind of?
Their goals are pretty simple in that, yeah, getting to the IRA, getting to the NCAA. Yeah. So everything kind of lands on what's going on at the NIRC,
yeah,
right? Which is where, you know, embedded within that is the NESCAC Championships. So they want to do well at that race. That's where you get your automatic qualifiers for the championships that are a month after that or a couple weeks after that.
Yeah, certainly. And obviously, we've seen, you know, a lot of schools in the NESCAC rise up recently in rowing. Like, it's very competitive, isn't it?
It's very competitive. You know, Tufts is clearly a big powerhouse, and Wesleyan on the men's side is quite good. Trinity won it last year on the men's side, so they're still going to be very good. Yeah, there's no shortage. And even our friends up north, the Colby group, on the particularly on the men's side, has made some pretty significant improvements. So, yeah, it's only going to get more and more difficult.
Home regattas this year. Tell us about them.
Yeah, we've got the Bates Invite, which is going to be fun. We're getting Middlebury back here. We used to do this prior to COVID, and it's nice to get back to this. Middlebury's coming up along with Bowdoin. We won't race Bowdoin. It's done in sort of a round robin style, where we just will race Conn College and then we'll race Middlebury, and then Bowdoin will race them opposite of us. And then we have MIT, the open women and the heavyweight men are both coming up the following weekend. That's pretty exciting. That's the first time we've had MIT up here.
Get them to come here. We always race them down.
Getting them to come here was a pretty big deal. I think they're kind of excited about it because for them, everyone goes to them. It's like WPI or something. Yeah. Those people, that every weekend is a home race. Yeah. So I think they're kind of excited about it. And then the President's Cup will happen on the Sunday following that. So, yeah, three home races is a big deal. We're happy to do it.
Certainly. Well, any other thoughts you want to share on the upcoming season from the rowing program you want to mention we haven't got to talk about?
Just that we're looking forward to everything as far as finally getting out on the water is a big deal. And the teams have put in a tremendous amount of work. Lingering in the background is this trip to Henley, where we're taking 32 people to England at the end of this year, into this spring.
That's
so
definitely happening.
That is definitely happening. Oh, yeah, that's very much definitely happening. Very excited about that. It's a great opportunity for those 32 that are going. And it's a good time to go because we are not a senior-heavy program at the moment. So the vast majority of the people that are going are underclassmen. This additional time that they put in is going to pay off down the road. But we're generally not spending too much time talking about that because we are seeing the Henley as the beginning of the 2027 campaign, whereas everything we're doing now is meant to be for 2026. So that's our focus.
All right, Peter Steenstra, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Next time on the Bates Bobcast, we'll preview the women's golf team's spring season and look back on a big NESCAC week for baseball, softball, and lacrosse. All that and more next time on the Bates Bobcast.